This week's mailbag comes to us from Renee. Hi, Lisa. This is feedback on your Solve It for Good podcast. It was helpful for me because I got to hear your process for organization applied to your schedule. You did not share too much detail, and I don't wear makeup or have my nails done. It's the thinking about the stuff that is helpful, so thank you. Like all of the rest of us, I am organizing to work smarter and have time to play my instruments, to garden, to do Tai Chi. So while you are getting on a rocket ship to launch your book, and also for future passive income, I am older, quieting down and creating a health and wellness path to take me forward. Best wishes from a Sunday basket and outlier fan. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. So we're here in our final episode in this point of view series where I'm talking about your point of view, the lens that you tend to filter the world through. The first two, you have absolutely no say whatsoever. Like the race that you're born into and the generation that you're born into is going to color the way you see the world for the rest of your lives. And there's really nothing that you could do to change that. The third one that we dove into is religion. And you were either born into a religion or no religion. And that also colors the way you view the world. Although, as I showed you in my story, you could definitely change your religion if you want to. And then this last one that people would say is most of your own free will, I would say maybe yes, maybe no, is if you have children or not. So one of the things that people will say when they're negatively reviewing the podcast is that I talk about my children too much, or she mentions children too much. And as a woman that had a difficult time getting pregnant, I never did get pregnant. I totally understand being sensitive to other people talking about children. And so when I created the 100 Day Home Organization Program, I specifically made it so that if you did not have children, there was not any day in that 100 days that was devoted to children. My sister doesn't have children and she's in her 40s. And I know that there are many of my cousins and my friends that do not have children, sometimes by choice, sometimes not by choice. It just wasn't in the cards. I also know many people who have children. It wasn't in the plan. Surprise! And now they have children, or they have extra children, or they have bonus babies. So while sometimes choosing not to have children or choosing to have children is a choice, sometimes it's not a choice. But once that little baby is there, and once you are responsible for that life, the discussion is not then if you're going to be a parent, it's the fact that you are a parent. And once you are a parent, you can never undo that. You're never not going to be a parent again. Even if you lose your child, you will always have been a parent. And the rest of your life, you will view the world through the lens of a parent, of someone who is responsible for another life, of someone who is going to sacrifice their time and their choices and their opportunities for another's well-being. So let's really talk about this. When we talk about children, and of course, I'm always going to have the point of view of being a mother because I have two children, you can make a choice. You can have a choice to have children or not to have children. And sometimes you can make the choice of what age you have children. Some people do it early like me in their 20s. Some of my cousins have waited until later in their 40s. And of all of my cousins that waited until their 40s, none of that was really by choice. Like they got married later, or they struggled with infertility, or they just didn't have the right partner until they were in their 40s. So when you have your children is not necessarily a choice. It's more of a fact. As you know, I'm slightly analytical. And my friend has six children. Yes, six children. I'm trying to add them up. Six children. And I remember when she had her last baby, I said, "You just restarted the parenting clock." She goes, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Oh, well, I had Joey and then we adopted Abby and they were 18 months apart. So I will be parenting for 20 years. She's like, "What?" I was like, "Yes, 20 years later, you know, they will be in college. They will be launched." Naive, I know. But I said 20 years of parenting and then I'll be quote unquote done. Now, I know I will never be done, but I will be done driving and, you know, grocery shopping. They'll have their own lives at 18. And my kids are 18 and 19. And I was right. I mean, I'm not done parenting in that I'm still imparting my wisdom on them and answering 8,000 texts and driving wherever they are to see whatever fabulous thing they're doing and transitioning them to adult doctors and all the things I do as a parent. But for the most part, you guys, I'm hitting the road next year. I'm doing a lot of traveling and a lot of speaking, and I can do it because my heavy parenting years are coming to an end. I'm still a parent, but I'm not in the thick of parenting. I said, "You restarted your clock." She said, "Explain." I said, "Oh, well, you know, you have a 16-year-old and now you have a newborn, so you'll be parenting for 36 years. And she just looked at me like, "Why did you tell me that?" Now, this particular friend, her lifelong goal is to be a parent forever. And now she has grandchildren. And like, that's just, she is the quintessential stay-at-home mom, like perpetually. She will, you know, she does work outside of the home a little bit, but it's never her goal or her spouse's goal or her desire to take on a corporate role ever. Like, to move from mother to grandmother is like her whole entire life's work, and she's fabulous at it. Another thing about these parenting years is that this definite 20 years, it's a for sure 20 years, and it could be longer. So let's say you have three children over the course of 6 years, then you're looking at about 24 parenting years. These parenting years are a length of time that you have to make different decisions during that time, but it's not an infinite amount of time. And until this year, when these parenting years came to a slowdown, was when I realized, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 48 and I'm done parenting and I want to be 100. I have 52 years ahead of me to fill with whatever I want to do. And that is the difference. Like, when you are in your 20s and 30s or 40s and you start to have your children and you're making the choice, am I going to be a parent or am I not going to be a parent? You are making a lifelong choice, but it's only going to impact your day to day for 20 years, according to my estimation. Because of this, pretty much everybody over 55, whether you had children or not, are now sit in the same pot. So when I was in my 20s, the question you asked everybody at a dinner party or when you were out was, when are you going to get married? When are you going to have kids? How many kids are you going to have? Kids, 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 kids. And if you chose not to have kids, chose not to get married, or the opportunities didn't present themselves, you know, it was kind of like, okay, well, then what do you do for a living? Like, on to the next part of the conversation. And during that parenting block, if you choose to have children or are blessed with children or have children, your 20 years will look totally different than the 20 years of someone who is not a parent. Your friends will change. How you spend your time will change. How you spend your finances will change. Where you live in the city will change. The size car you drive will change. Everything in that 20 years minimum will be related to the fact that you are a parent. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. And now Greg is really close with his high school and college friends. And when we got married and we started having kids and they started having kids, like over time, we kind of separated because the kids were into different things. People moved to different parts of the city or moved away from the city and have since moved back. And now all of our kids are entering college and we're all getting older. And now we're doing dinner parties. Like every the other month, we meet at one person's house and everybody comes and it is so much fun. We were sitting around the table the other night and one of the guys said, "You know, my dad told me that this day was going to come. He said, you're going to get really close to your high school and college friends and then you're going to parent, you're going to get married and parent your kids and start your careers and you're going to separate for a period of time. And then you are going to come back together in your 50s and it'll be like you never left. And it is. I mean, I cannot believe Greg and his friends. It's like they just graduated college yesterday. The stories that they tell and, you know, in our early dating career, these were the people that we hung out with and they were married before we were because I'm younger and they had kids before we did. And we kind of watched everything they did. And now it's all coming full circle. And we are just having a great time having life together. I watch my mom. I watch her friends. They are busier today than they ever were when we were kids. I mean, you can't find my mom. I said to my mom, I need like a homing device on you. She's in Israel. She's over on this yacht. She's in this conference. She's meeting with these people. She's doing this business deal. She doesn't have a business. She's just going to business conferences to talk to other people about their businesses because she's inquisitive like me. And she's a learner like me. It's so much fun to watch her in her 70s just doing all these awesome things. In the last year, as I've really reflected on my kids getting older and starting to have their own lives, and Organize 365 being 8 years old and through those beginning years where is this going to work or isn't this going to work, like Organize 365 is working, now I'm able to dream, well, what if I do start traveling? What if I do start speaking? What if we do, you know, and now all these things are happening. I am so excited about the next 20 years of growing Organize 365 and traveling with Greg. Like these are my two priorities, Organize 365 and traveling with Greg. The kids are always going to be there. I'm always going to focus on the kids. But now is the time I have put my marriage not on hold, but you know, kind of, because all the time and money went to the kids, right? And I want all the time and money to go to Greg now. And frankly, I've held Organize 365 back because of another choice that I made was being a stay-at-home mom. When you have your children and what generational viewpoint you have also determines your parenting choices. So I had my children at 28 and 29 in 2000 and 2001 was when the kids came along. And at that time, I graduated college in 1995. At that time, the choice that I perceived, and I could be wrong, but what I perceived as my choice was, women can have it all, but they have to choose. Do you want to be a stay-at-home mom, or do you want to be a working mom? And at that day, in the late 90s, not many people were working from home, a full-time corporate job. Like you could work from home part-time, but you couldn't have a full-time corporate job at home. And if you could, I didn't know about it. Nobody told me about it. So my choice was when I had children, do I want to put them in daycare and go pursue a corporate job or continue teaching? Or do I want to stay home with my babies? Of course, I can make some extra money on the side, but the primary thing is that I'm the one in charge of my children day-to-day, not a daycare center. Now you should know, my college degree from Miami University of Ohio is in how to design and build daycare centers. I literally have a degree in that, early childhood education, how to create and develop daycare centers. I love daycare centers. I think they're fabulous. The one that I designed in college would be amazing if I ever created it, which who knows, maybe I will in the future. So I love daycare centers, but I have wanted to have children since I knew that I could have children. Honestly, I thought about my children always. Like, I pursued a husband because I knew you needed a husband to get children. Now, I know you don't necessarily need a husband, but you know, I'm fairly traditional. So, I mean, obviously I love Greg, but I was like, oh, good, husband, check. When do we get to have children? I would like to have children. I have always wanted to have children. So to stay home with my children was the biggest blessing Greg could have ever given me. Because that's what I wanted. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to have a stay-at-home wife. I mean, his mom had been at home and she had also worked. And he preferred when she was at home. He's very traditional. And I am very blessed. So I made the choice to stay home. And then I earned income for preschool and extra supplements and medical stuff. Like my income was never the income that was going to pay the mortgage or the car payment or provide health insurance. Greg did all of that. And growing up, you know, as our children were growing up, we are extremely traditional. We follow the very 1950s. Whoever said that in the podcast review that was negative is right. I mean, it is my point of view. I loved Leave It to Beaver. And I loved The Brady Bunch. I just didn't realize I was modeling my life after Alice, the housekeeper, not Carol, the wife. Have you ever done that? Have you ever loved a show and like you have exactly what that house has? And when I look back on it, I'm Alice, the housekeeper. I did the cooking, I did the cleaning, I drove the kids, I said, hey, don't run in the house with your shoes on, you know, dog for a walk, all that kind of stuff. I still have yet to figure out what Carol Brady did. If anybody knows, let me know. She would show up every once in a while and give hugs and stuff, but she didn't tend to do very much of the parenting from my recollection. Did she work outside of the home? I'm not really sure what Carol Brady did. So I modeled myself after Alice, the housekeeper. And because I made that choice in my late 20s, I am going to be a stay-at-home mom. No matter what job I had or how much money I made from home, I was from home, which was my point of view. So I said, I am a stay-at-home mom. Until a friend of mine a couple years said, you're a working mom and you've always been a working mom. Because society along the way had shifted and many people were working at home and I was earning a full-time income from home. But you guys, if the kids have to go to the doctor, I turn this off and I go take care of the kids. So my saying that I'm a stay-at-home mom meant that my kids come first, and because I employ myself, they can always come first at a moment's notice. I can rearrange the meeting, I can cancel, I can do whatever. It's not until recently that I've realized I am a working woman. And in the new warehouse that we're going to be opening up in May, I have an office. And I have been really wrestling with this over the last couple of weeks over like, well, do I keep my home office and have a work office? What hours am I going into the work office? What about Hunter? Who's going to let Hunter out? Well, what about, I mean, just all of these thoughts about having an office that is not inside my home, it really has me spinning, which is kind of funny. So I chose to be a stay-at-home mom and earn an income on the side. Along the way, I pretty much started a corporation with employees, warehouse, and all that, but I'm slow to change my mental mindset. And I will tell you, when I reviewed the book Fair Play by Eve Rodsky, I read that book and I thought, yes, why can't it be more fair play? Not even, not divide in half, but why can't Greg do more at home because I'm doing more in the corporate world? And I thought, you know, I was frustrated with myself reading that book because I had made the conscious choice to be a stay-at-home mom, and I felt like that was my choice for the rest of my life. And what I'm realizing is that was my choice for the parenting years. For those 20 years of parenting, I chose to be a stay-at-home wife and mother for our children and to earn an income on the side, and it's been great. But now, the next 20 years, I want to pick again. And I want to pick corporate woman. I want to pick corporate CEO. But I'm having a hard time figuring out what does that look like, something that I need to wrestle with personally. As you listen to this conversation, you are listening to it through the lens of, I have children and I could see what Lisa is saying, but I've always had to work outside the home. Nice of her that she got to have that choice. Was never a choice for me. We always had to have a second income. Or you might have children and you might think, well, I'm at home and that's not my choice. I was a corporate professional. I was making bank. I was growing up the ladder. It had to be me or my spouse, and it ended up being me. And now I'm frustrated and I'm like, you're thinking of this through your own lens of the own choices that you have made or have been put upon you. And what I would say for those of you that have children is, it's just a phase. It's just a phase. Having been through it, it is 20 years of intense. It's intense. It feels like it's never going to end, especially when you're driving 25 hours a week and you're like, why won't they just take the driving test? I'll buy them a car. Just take the driving test so I don't have to drive you to school 25 hours a week. Do you know how much time this is? Do you know how much stuff I could be doing with this time? And then they'll be raised. I'm not saying they're going away. I'm just saying they'll be raised. And then you get to pick again. And I don't know why I never knew, or no one told me, or I didn't hear it, or I wasn't listening. If I live to be 100, I have 52 more years to live. And I don't plan on retiring. I mean, look, how old is Martha Stewart? 78? I mean, look around. The 70s are fabulous. Like, I've got plenty of years. I have my whole 50s, 60s, 70s. Like, I could create another business on top of Organize 365. I could definitely grow Organize 365 for 25 years total. We're only 8 years in. I could do it for another 25 years. I have so much time, and I'm getting to pick again. Now, if you're listening to this and you either don't have children, can't have children, or have opted not to have children, then I want to just say to you, give the people with children grace. First of all, if you have children, go take a nap. If you don't have children and you get frustrated with people who have children, take a nap. And then we're just doing the best we can. Once you have a child, there's no way to explain it if you haven't experienced it. Just like, I don't know what it's like to have someone close to you diagnosed with cancer. I don't know what it's like to be divorced. I don't know what it's like to lose a child. I cannot comprehend something I have not experienced. And if you don't have children, you can't comprehend the juxtaposition a parent is put in when they know they have to meet that corporate meeting and they also know their child has a fever. And both seem equally important and they don't know how to make that priority because their spouse is out of town or whatever the story is. And if you are frustrated by people who have children because you don't have children, it's probably a season where you need to find new friends, but know that those friends will probably be back in 20 years and you could be in relationship with them again. Don't know why I mentioned that, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. I have no idea. This is your point of view. Your point of view on how you hear my message in Organize 365 and how you decide to organize your space is hugely contingent on if you have children and where you are in that parenting journey. Are you in the thick of it where the kids are, you know, 0 to 18? Are you in the transition where the kids are 16 to 25? Or are you in the glorious empty nester years? Why didn't anybody tell me how fabulous this is going to be? I'm so excited about it. Where you see them and release them and go back to your nice, clean, organized home and travel and love your spouse and all of those things. Like, where are you? Or are you a single woman who is enjoying her life all the way through all of the phases of life? Your phase of life, your family makeup will greatly impact how you hear the Organize 365 message and how you organize your home. All right, so this month of March has been great for me. It's been revealing. It's been, I'm a little nervous about it. If I hear negative backlash, I'm going to be sad. But long term, for people to be able to go back and find out these point of view podcasts about the fact that I have children, about my ethnicity, about my religion, you know, about the generation that I'm in and the generation everybody else is in. I think that having these conversations, getting it out in the open, discussing all the different nuances of it really does help you. I have said many times, if you want a digital organizer, I'm not your organizer. If you want somebody who likes to do Pinterest or magazine worthy, I'm not your organizer. And you may find if you are minimalist focused, if you really need to focus on decluttering only, if you want to go digital, I may not be your organizer. I can only be who I am and as transparent as possible about who I am and as open and researching as I could be about all the people who are listening, but I'll never be everything to everyone. And even though I want to be, like, I want everybody to be my friend, I want every message that I have to resonate with everyone, I want to never receive another negative podcast review again, I know I will. And I know I will more and more the more I spread this message of grace, progress over perfection, done is better than perfect, being a woman of excellence, you know, that you can do multiple things. You can have as many of your passion projects as possible as you want and minimalize other areas in your life, as I want to reach more women at home with that message so that they feel free and empowered. I'm going to upset some people, right? Not everybody's going to be happy. So thank you so much for listening. In April, we're going to be diving into, are you organized? or unorganized? And it's not an either-or question. See you next week.